Your heart beats faster and faster.
I'm choking on my spit, everybody. I love it when that happens. Hey, it's Sunday night once again, so let's do a great opening. It is possible that there exist emotions that are still unknown to us. And that's not the one I'm going to use.
There goes our great opening. I'll fix it in the mix.
fix it in the mix. We'll fix it up. That's how we do it. But it says, whatsoever that be within us, that feels, thinks, desires, and animates, is something celestial and divine, and consequently, imperishable. And that's from Aristotle, guys, a guy much, much, much smarter than us, and I hope we have a great show tonight. Welcome back to G&D Show.
Paranormal broadcasting, where we take no opportunity, well, every opportunity, to remind people that everybody out there is smarter than us.
Choking on my spit, man. Hey, gang, we are back live in studio. We're joined tonight by our very special guest, good friend of the show, John Magnus Apollo. He's in the house with us tonight, one of the greatest crypto men I know and one of the greatest friends we have. So welcome tonight, John. Aww. And we'll be in the G&D chat room all night long, guys, all three of us.
And you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And of course, this is your ghost man, Sean B.
And that would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And that would make this the Sunday, January 31st broadcast of the G&D Show.
Ooh, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris. Broadcast live on Absurd Radio. And is recorded for Absurd Radio, Planet Paranormal Radio, the Black Vault Radio Network, and the Para X Radio Network.
Tonight's guest, Sheena Metal from LA Talk Radio, is in the house from the Sheena Metal Experience. The voice of LA comes the voice of LA comes to talk about all things paranormal, hauntings. She grew up in a haunted house, folks. She's going to talk to us about that and much, much, much more tonight on the G&D Show.
You know, Sean, last week we were too slow for the radio, and this week we're too fast for our own tongues. So
we're having woo woo.
That's what happens when you're at the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show, because it's beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
Are you heathens and hooligans? You won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother. I could use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this. I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans. You want to get the hell out of here. Yeah, you heathens and hooligans.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes!
Woohoo! That's right. That's right.
Thank you, Demon Bob.
Demon Bob rocks. Demon Bob rocks the house.
Demon Bob has been with us since day one, I think, hasn't he?
He has.
Introducing us, he is the Ed McMahon to our Johnny Carson.
He is.
Yes!
Right you are, Johnny!
Or in current terms, he's the Andy Richter, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
well, like what is going on with the Tonight Show? Is there a Tonight Show anymore? I mean,
I think so. Isn't it Jay Leno is coming back now to
well,
do it?
Well, last I heard, they wanted to move the Jay Leno show to the Tonight Show spot.
Yep.
Then, but that would move Conan back to the Late Show spot. Which would pretty much get rid of, who's doing the late show?
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon's show.
And I heard they're bringing back Carson.
And that's the newest paranormal television coming on. Yes.
Right. Well, it's kind of like Walt Disney. Didn't they put his head on ice or something? So he's truly not, he's really not gone. He's just here. He's sitting, waiting.
Well, he's in the freezer section.
I guess the rumor that is about is that it was making Jay look bad. Conan threw down like the gauntlet, and now they're not sure there's going to be any Tonight Show at all anymore.
Yeah. I think they're going to be a Tonight Show. I mean, it's such a like it's been there for how many years? I mean, decades and decades. It's its own institution now, so they have to have it, I think.
Well, we'll host it, Sean. Yeah, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Tonight Show.
Yeah, man. Why can't we do that? We could laugh. We could have our own band and stuff. Man, yeah. We can do it.
We'll have a different independent band on hosting the show each week.
Yeah, we'll do it. So if you're listening,
every night, though.
Every night. Yeah, sure, we can pull that off.
MSNBC or whoever it was. Yeah, we'll host the Tonight Show. Bring us on.
Your name's in the hat right now. I will send it in right now, so they'll have it.
Well, we know you have those connections, John.
I do. I'm very friendly. I know a lot of people.
Hey, guys, that reminds me. We're still trying to give away this signed autographed copy of Spirit Speak, Knowing and Understanding Spirit Guides, Ancestors, Ghosts, Angels, and the Divine. Now, that seems like it sums up just about everything to me. But
You want it. Yeah, it's good.
You want it. It's by Evo Dominguez Jr. I always mess that up. Sorry, Evo. But it is autographed, guys. It's sitting here in the office, and we're still trying to come up with a way let you people win this book. Maybe you guys can come up with some way, because I'm sick of seeing it lay here, actually.
Get a Ouija board out. See what name comes up on the Ouija board, right? I'm sure Nathan would love that.
Oh, I'll just love that. Sure. Yeah,
tell you. Nathan would be all over that. He's being so excited.
Well, you know, since the big debate of, what was it, 04 or 06 or whatever, or the Ouija board Nathan Schoonover, Sean Burris debate of 07 or whatever, I went out and someone purchased me a authentic 1920 patented version of the William Fold talking board.
Mm, wow.
Yeah. I actually got it framed hanging upstairs.
Nice.
Mm.
Very cool. I dig it. A lady found it in her attic, and it's even got the instructions glued to the back, and it's got the patent date and everything on the back. So
that's actually a pretty darn cool find. I would love to have that for my house, just for quite a good, you know, conversation piece, at least.
Hey Sean, yeah. here you go. Hold on, Sean.
This is Evo Dominguez Jr., author of Spirit Speak, Knowing and Understanding Spirit Guides, Ancestors, Ghosts, Angels, and the Divine. And I can't imagine a better place to be than listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Keep listening.
How'd you find that so dang fast, man?
You are organized. Wow.
You're good.
Don't let it out. People, you know, this whole show, we whenever we mess up, we blame it on the fact that we're so unorganized. So don't let the truth out there.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Well, that's how we roll, man. That's how we roll. Anyway, you know, guys, February 7th, the big game's coming up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we gotta mention the Super Bowl, man. And it's going to be a mystical Super Bowl.
It is. It's going to be mystical because the Saints are going to win.
No. The Indianapolis Colts will win. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, folks. He knows nothing about football. What he's talking. No, I'm kidding. But we are going down to New Orleans, the Indianapolis Colts, and we will be in the Super Bowl. That is official. Who knows who will
the
win?
The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show won't be in the Super Bowl. It's
Sean
uses we when he describes the Colts. It's the royal we.
It's the royal we. It's
you go down and sit in like the parking lot or something.
Yeah, we're gonna broadcast live. Well, that would be good.
From the bathroom and the half, you know, 50-yard.
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Wah wah wee wah.
That's how we'd sound about halftime there. Yeah, so
it's how we sound during the show. Who are you kidding?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I got this story, guys. This is a real story. Testicle for Super Bowl. You guys heard this?
No.
I think I passed that one up. I think that was a spam in my inbox. I think I trashed. But,
testicle for Super Bowl. See, you can't trash all that spam. This is where I would get stories for the show. New Orleans, Louisiana, a very excited NFL fan is willing to trade a special part of his anatomy for Super Bowl tickets. An anonymous user on Craigslist.org has posted a bizarre listing in the barter section. On February 7th, the Indianapolis Colts will play the New Orleans Saints in the Super Bowl game in Miami. The user has proposed that in exchange for game tickets, he is willing to give his left testicle. And here's the ad, guys. I actually have the ad. The ad reads...
Mm-hmm.
Check this out. High capacity, zero negative, well traveled, well maintained, larger than average, only used for at 22 years. was in storage before that. It says, one available, history of producing blonde-haired Caucasian males, all sales final, will complete transaction after the game, and I'll need a ride to the airport and help on a plane. It says, pictures, documentation available upon request, no perverts, please, email for additional information. But it is unclear if this somehow violates Craigslist posting guidelines. However, the ad can still be viewed here at Craigslist.org.com, whatever. But
yeah, I think they can't sell, like, human body parts on Craigslist. I think they can't do that anymore.
Oops.
I mean, I try to sell all my stuff there. But no perverts, huh? So,
no perverts.
Well, I guess I'm out.
Well, you know, it's funny, guys. We've been asked how much promo space the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show purchased during the Super Bowl. And I just told everybody, we purchased 1/100th of a second, so you won't actually see any promos by the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, but subconsciously we'll be there, so you'll be thinking about us.
Nice. So.
Yeah, we'll be in your mind.
Yes.
Me in my bath towel, laying there drinking, just a big stack of pyramid beer cans just laying right next
now,
to me.
Here's my question about the testicle, Sean. How is he going to supply this? Like, does the buyer have to, like, pay for the surgery to remove it? Or can the buyer remove it whichever way he chooses? Because he really doesn't want his ex-wife to throw in the top bid there, you know?
Well, he said if they're going to provide an airplane and all that stuff, I'm assuming it would be a medical procedure.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you could get a doctor to, without a medical condition, to remove one of those little fellows for you. You know, I just don't know. I don't know if that could happen or not. But I think people need to stop butting in on this Craigslist stuff. The woman that wanted to sell sex for tickets or whatever, if people are this crazy, let them do it, man. I mean, you know, if they want to sell...
It would be chaos!
Yeah, well...
But a good fun chaos for us to watch, I think.
Yes.
As long as my entertainment value is up, that's all I want, really.
You'd have lots more stories to tell. And my God, okay... Switch it to Haiti, right? Terrible, terrible things.
Great
things.
Great lead-in, I gotta say.
Thank you. Switching to Haiti, though, it's a terrible thing went down there. You know, you had the terrible earthquake. Terrible. Our hearts go out to everybody in Haiti. And they're dealing with challenges of their own right now, and a lot of brave souls are going down there, and they're fighting to get these people rescued and to help them and feed them, make sure they got what they need. Well, we got a ship full of Baptist ministers, if I read right,
okay,
that went down last week, and they were caught with 40-some-odd children, Haitian children, and they were going to take them back, and they thought they were saving them from the island. Now, some of these kids' parents are still alive.
Oh, my God.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
You can't – yeah, I mean, let's leave these people's kids alone, folks. It's not like a pumpkin patch or anything. I've been hearing these stories about people are adopting more. And actually, the Haitian government has stopped adoption.
Yeah, they stopped that.
Which, you know, has Anna – or not – Angelina. Whoa. Very mad. Angelina's very mad about that. So
Yeah, very mad.
She was going for a whole set.
She was, you know. Now she's got 7. She's not going to be able to fill up a table.
Hollywood took a hit this week, man, on kids. That's what happened. So,
crap.
But I couldn't believe it. They're going down there. They're taking these people's children and going, it's a good thing. We're saving them.
Yeah, well, let's be fair. They weren't stealing the children to sell them on the black market. They thought
we don't
they were
know
helping,
that. There are some people down there doing that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I wanted to send our love out to Haiti too. I wanted to send our love out to Haiti too, Sean, because you know our buddy Shane Norris, who was the voodoo practitioner who helped me get ready for Extreme Paranormal, is actually trained in Haiti and lost several friends while he was there who were there. So during the earthquake. So our love out to Haiti, our love out to Shane. You know, it's.
I actually had a friend of mine that was a photographer, and he was down there the day before. And he has a lot of good friends and family that are down there, or at least family in the sense of familiarity. They take good care of him. And he was down there and happened to, you know, flew out the day before it happened. And I guess a lot of the people he knew down there are missing or, you know, were found dead. So he's all upset too. So it definitely, it's funny who has been affected by this.
Yeah.
So.
You know, it's, When things like this happen, it literally is felt around the world. So,
Which I'm actually impressed with how, you know, how humans do still come together at that point in time. I mean, people, I'm not a big fan of a lot of people. They're, you know, greedy, horrible. But when things like this happen, all of a sudden you see the best in people coming out, helping out.
But they do potty train really easy.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they potty train. They're housebroken really good. I do like that of people. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have a little dog bed for Finn, my Boston Terrier. They're pretty small. Maybe I can get another one, have them in the corner. They can keep the dog, play around in the morning, have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Give humans a chance. Usually they'll let you down. But, hey, you know, there's every once in a while you'll get a good break. So.
Yeah. I mean, look at you two. You guys are the best of the best, and you've never let me down. You guys are phenomenal.
That's right. We pay Magnus to say that, guys.
That's right.
But, hey, John, we haven't had you on in a while. John used to, for all our listeners out there, guys, you've listened to our archives, Mr. Magnus himself has done a crypto corner for us.
The mind.
I try to do
Magnus.
More, but I never seem to get it done. I feel horrible about that.
Yeah, but, you know, you are very knowledgeable on a lot of different aspects to do with cryptozoology, and I want to know, do you want to share anything with the listeners tonight? Any new things, any new creatures running about?
Actually, I've been, the past 2-3 months, I've been going back. People have been sending me files and footage and photos of odd random things they found. So a lot of the past 2 months, I've been kind of debunking all these images found over the summertime. So sadly, nothing is overly exciting happening. I feel like I'm kind of being the bearer of bad news for a lot of these people.
Well,
like
Magnus, when the video came out of the gnome, did you see the video of the gnome running by the roadside?
Believe.
Yeah. Now, that
I actually did say that.
That really turned Sean's eye. He wanted to know more about the gnome, and we didn't know if you had seen anything about that.
I saw 3 or 4 videos, but the funny thing was I don't exactly know which was the original video because everyone's like, oh, hey, this is the video here, and one or two of them were obviously faked. One of them, I swear, was Gary Coleman in an outfit running around, but I'm glad he's getting work out of this.
Am I going to get a drink?
Oh, so, but...
that's all I get. Oh!
Magnus's response was more fun than the sound.
Yeah.
But that one is pretty interesting. I didn't get a chance to look too much on it. I want to look more at that one. So before I actually say any announcement or say, yeah, there's definitely gnomes running around here.
I like gnomes, man. I like gnomes. My grandmother had garden gnomes everywhere. So I've always had a fascination. They creep me out. They got little hot dog fingers and they're little small people. But they, you know, they're gnomes, man. So you could imagine they would smell kind of funny because they hide in pine trees and stuff, and they live outdoors, right, or underneath the ground.
It
could be pine fresh at that point in time, right?
They could be. They could be pine fresh. I don't know. But the pointy hats, man. I mean, the style hasn't changed. So basically what we have is like a small Amish community living underground.
Mm.
The styles haven't changed or nothing. And I think that we're onto something here. I think that the little people could be out there in the woods somewhere. You know, it could be. Hey,
are they invisible, Sean?
No, just like Bigfoot. He's not invisible. People see him, you know, every once in a while.
Well, remember.
The trouble is I think Bigfoot actually is blurry. That's the trouble. I've been figuring it out. All these photos, it's actually a giant blurry animal running around the northeast. That scares me more than anything else. So,
I think it's someone's joke. Bombs with him.
Exactly. Poof, he's like a ninja. That's the worst thing. He's actually a biped ninja with fur. It's horrible. Oh my God.
That's it. What did you guys think about the what did you think, John, about when the guys came out and they claimed they had captured the first Bigfoot body corpse in the tank? Remember that last year?
Yeah, the guy has a freezer full of a gorilla suit and old hamburger meat and everything else.
Yeah,
that was,
man, my God.
The photo, I look at it, I'm like, yeah, I had the same gorilla suit. Don't ask me why I have a gorilla suit, but I have the same gorilla suit.
Oddly enough, I'm not surprised you have a gorilla suit there.
I'm pretty sure the backside wasn't cut out of this one, though, John. You know what I mean?
Oh, see. Well, that flap has a lot of good purpose to it. I mean, it's just it's
very
great
tough to get out of that suit in an emergency.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna get a drinks on. We're gonna party and get crunk and rock out, dude.
If you haven't noticed, John, Sean now has control of the sound effects. So
I've noticed that. I've definitely it's changed quite a bit. The sound effects seem to be occurring.
Yeah, I could do whatever one I want anytime. It's just it's like playing God sometimes, you know. So I got to step away from it. So I'm gonna step away from it now. I got a clear head. Got a clear head. I'm looking at it. No, I can't touch it. But anyway, I got another story, guys. It comes from the, you know, it's pretty quiet, cool times right now. When your city goes to the Super Bowl, your town, your area there, Nathan, you'll never have to deal with that for a long, long time.
But I'm in Buffalo Bills territory, so I know the same feeling. Yeah. So it's okay.
Right, right. That's almost out there with Detroit. That's oh, that's bad. That's bad.
But, wah, 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 wah.
It seems like every time your town goes to the other town to take on the opposing team.
Speech lessons by Sean Burris.
They do a the mayors do a like a little internal bet to where if you know your team loses, I'll do this. If your team wins, I'll do this. So it says an unusual battle of bets among mayors of championship teams. Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard and New Orleans Mayor Ray Najin have made their wagers for the Super Bowl. And I just want to read this because it was kind of weak actually. Ballard, the Indianapolis mayor. Let's see here. He says that he would put a shrimp cocktail in a box with plenty of horseradish, you know, for the Colts, and send that down there to the mayor of New Orleans if we were to get beat. So that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. But the New Orleans guy comes back, the mayor of New Orleans, and he says he will send compact disc of New Orleans-based musicians, Mardi Gras cakes, and other foods in a package that come to Indianapolis if the Colts win.
See, I've always been afraid of those king cakes for Mardi Gras because they've got the little plastic Jesus in them, and I'm always sure I'm going to wind up swallowing Jesus and choking to death. It's
They have Jesus in a hamburger?
No, it's the Mardi Gras cakes are called.
Yeah, Mardi Gras cake has a little surprise in there.
You know,
found Jesus. Choke, choke, choke.
There's a whole bunch of little things in the cake for you to win, like little presents, and whoever gets the slice of the cake. Good Mardi Gras tip, everybody, for Mardi Gras coming up this month. If you get the slice of the king cake that has the baby Jesus in it, you have to host the Mardi Gras party the next year.
Oh, boy.
So I've always been afraid I'm going to get the little Mardi Gras cake, choke to death on baby Jesus, and isn't that just going to be, like, on the face of the Inquirer, you know?
Yeah,
you know, that should be totally a shirt for the Ghost Hunter Demon, you know, you know, I'm afraid to find baby Jesus and choking on him. That'd be great for
Don't
sure.
Choke on the baby Jesus. That's going to be our bumper sticker. Ghostman and Demon Hunter, don't choke on baby Jesus. You know, it's...
Or a picture of us actually choking on baby Jesus. Yes. That would be...
Yikes.
Actually, it would be me choking on baby Jesus and Sean and Jason laughing at me. So
Yeah. While we wait for the ambulance. That's what happens.
Hey, I have a random question for you guys, and I've been waiting to ask this question. And this is, you know, not coming from the crypto side of the world. I'm actually going to ask... you know, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter, their stance on shadow people. And the reason I ask is because this past month, I'm dealing with a woman who is, I work for a paranormal group as well that does researching. And she, and you know, there's not crypto involved this time, but she is having what she describes as shadow people. And I always wonder, curious what your two stances are on, Sean and Nathan, what they think of the shadow people. So,
well, you know,
go ahead, Nate.
I've never had a situation with shadow people where it turned out to be a friendly spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It usually either comes in, is annoying, comes in and is malevolent, or comes in and starts at the beginning, like, being... you know, benign, and then turns malevolent. So I've
heard that. That's what I was curious, because she's having more and more problems, and my crew is going back in, and she's actually going to be selling the house shortly. I can't give it too much information on it because I told her I wouldn't, but I wanted to ask you guys, and it is actually, it's definitely not like any sort of ghost related, but it seems very, all the children and everything else are reporting shadow people. Not like shadows on the wall, like full-on dark shadows walking through a room.
When we were at the prison for Extreme Paranormal, I saw a shadow person standing behind me. And when we turned the camera, it actually moved.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And was on the other side of the bars. So, I mean, it was, you know, I find them to either be in places where there was a lot of, like, nasty energy to begin with, mm-hmm. or someplace where something nasty is going on and is being kept secret, or some place that where people have a lot of fear and anger. Because
I actually have encountered one myself a year and a half ago. Actually, our crew was brought in for, of all things, a giant. It was in Rochester, New York, at the Eastman Dental School, and it used to be George Eastman, who set up Kodak and everything else. When he got wealthy, he set up a dental school for the poor, and people without money could come in, because when he was growing up, he didn't have any dental, and he had bad teeth. So he was like, "No, when I'm wealthy, children always have dental care." So he set up a school so they can come in and have that. Well, it's since moved to a different building, but the original building's still there. And my crew was brought in, and we had the weirdest things happen there. And actually, I saw my own eyes, watched this shadow person walk across the room, about to walk in a door, and faded right away in front of me. And of course, I'm setting up the cameras at this point in time. The cameras aren't rolling, because you never see anything when the camera's rolling, of course.
Of course.
And yeah, my buddy I'm with actually looked at me, and I have like a little pen light in my hand, because we're running cables. You don't have a big flashlight or anything else at this point in time, because you're carrying stuff. And sure enough, this person, and it was like there's rubble everywhere. I even heard it walking. And then it faded away right in front of my eyes, probably about 30, 40 feet in front of me. It was kind of a little darker, but I could see a person walking. And where it ended, actually, there actually was a pile, and I swear to whatever you want me to swear on, maybe that testicle the guy's selling, I'll swear on that one testicle.
Yeah, swear on it.
Yeah, testimony comes from testicle, right?
Place your hand on the testicle.
Yes, exactly. So actually, the where I went to where it faded away, there was a pile of dead pigeons, like seven or eight pigeons. They were chewed up. They weren't bitten. We were in the third or fourth floor of a building, and they were just a pile of pigeons there. No reason why.
Wow.
It was a weird place. Definitely, you got bad vibes in that area. But I've actually seen one myself, and it was very odd stuff. So I've never actually had any good experience, never any overly negative. But I'm just curious what you guys thought about it. I don't know if you ever had any experiences.
I've never had a bad – well, I've had them try to spook me. I actually had one where I was turning a key in a lock, and a shadow person hand reached over my shoulder and reached for the keys. And I thought it was like one of the people I worked with, and
– yeah, watch out. Sean reaches around you sometimes too.
Yeah, sometimes.
I'm always afraid when Sean is behind me. So,
yeah, exactly.
But I turned around as quick as I could to see what was going on, and nobody there. And I've seen them been walking past windows and swear I saw somebody standing behind me, but never in a good place, and never they've never turned out to be friendly. You know, so it's sometimes they just stay kind of benign and just are annoying and.
Well, the house that we're looking into right now and researching had some problems in the past. One of the previous tenants there was years and years back was actually either he was brought up on charges and arrested for beating his children and everything else. It was quite a violent man, I guess. So she doesn't know what's going on there. I don't know if someone had died or he came back and got killed in there or something. It's a lot of ghost stories about the house. So, but we're trying to sort it all out. So.
Okay, guys, we started reading these last week. I'm going to read out four more real quick. 100 magical prophecies, Mayan prophecies. Here we go, guys. This is what's happening between this year and 2012. Doomsday, the CEOs of seven major banks are sentenced to prison for defrauding the government bailout program. Mortgage rates dropped to an average of 1.5%, ending the foreclosure crisis. Wages increased by 11% nationwide. That's good, huh? Congress bans all toys made in China after 12 children die of lead poisoning. There you go, guys. Much, much more next week. Those are the magical prophecies. We're going through the 100 list.
Well, you know, Sean, those seem a little more realistic than last week's prophecies.
Last week's were kind of on the weird side.
Yeah, well, I was kind of hoping that something like Bigfoot would run for Congress and make it, you know? I was kind of hoping for something like that, but you never get that kind of stuff. But, John, talking about the shadow people, right, the dark figures in people's homes, I've only had one experience with it, and I think I might have seen one, don't know, not sure, so I'm not going to say I did or not. I was in a person's house. She said that it was infested by shadow people. I did receive EVP. The EVP was nothing out of the ordinary. It said my name is John. And it gave me a date of birth, and it was like a 1960s date or whatever. I don't remember. But John, 1960s date, they researched the house. They found no evidence of a John ever living there, dying there, nothing. And the whole time we were there, nothing happened. evil or anything like that, except for a motion sensor went off in the house. That was all I had, was an EVP and a motion sensor going off. So there you go. Both sides of the spectrum.
There you go. Well, like, that's where I say, like, sometimes it appears benign, but nothing good ever comes from it.
Mm, yeah. They haven't won the lottery yet or anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of EVP, Sean, that's my segue. I have been running the EVP on Jocelyn, the haunted doll.
Yeah, we didn't even tell people how you got that.
That's right, folks. You were all wondering what that gift was that Sean was sending me, my late Christmas gift. After we had the Haunted Doll Museum on, he communicated with the Haunted Doll Museum, and they sent me a haunted doll named, she didn't have a name. I've named her Jocelyn because she's got red hair. Reminds me of a friend of mine named Jocelyn. And pretty little thing wearing a white christening dress. It looks like it's an older doll. Very spooky eyes, Sean. It's got very spooky eyes. It would freak you out.
Yes, and she's not anatomically correct, folks. So the way Nathan's talking about her,
it's a very pretty little doll, and I don't, you know, it's she's
one of those real dolls. I can see how that is.
She's sitting right here.
Yeah, grown man naked.
Oh, she's sitting right here on the in the studio with me, and you know, they said to be nice to her because that's when things happen. So,
like all women,
you know, it's But, so, you know, no, I've been running EVP tests, not gotten anything yet, you know, nothing.
We have, that's awesome.
Nothing too strange has been happening around the house, although one of the cats is fascinated with the doll.
Excellent.
And, oddly enough, I've been having the strange sensation to host tea parties. I don't know what that is, but,
I'll send you crumpet next. That's what my guess will be.
Let's have a G&D tea party, man. Just get everybody.
I am so there. Let me know. I'll be there.
It's not a haunted blow-up doll or anything like that. It is a haunted doll.
This tea has bourbon in it. Wow.
Sent to me by Sean for Christmas, which he got from the woman at the haunted doll museum. And
that's actually one of your first artifacts for your haunted museum that you plan on starting.
That's right.
Actually, if you ever need any more haunted dolls, the NYPI group, that's the group I tend to work with, the New York Paranormal Investigators, the head guy, Jay, actually collects haunted dolls. And I got him one for last year. He got married, so his wedding gift was a couple random things and a haunted doll that I was sent to me from someone in actually Chicago area. And he has two dolls. One bothers me like you would not believe. But we've actually set them up in a party, and we were sitting around and actually had audio system set on there, and you actually could hear laughing on the audio setup. Like I have you could actually hear things. It was – we did not believe it at all. And I'm like, I'm hearing something, and we actually had a sound system set up around there, and he's actually had audio captured of little children laughing in his house, and he has no kids around there, no neighbors. And one of his audio ones hears giggling sound. He's like, they can hear us. Giggle, giggle, giggle. And it's creepy.
It's so, yeah, if you guys, creepy.
NYPI, we have some creepy dolls. I never want them.
Yeah, that was definitely a creepy show we did a couple weeks back with the people from Haunted Dolls, man. It was definitely creepy, man, when you hear the little dolls singing Twinkle, Twinkle or something while you're trying to sleep. See, I don't get down like that, man. I got to have I don't want any dolls talking in my house.
If there's a spirit attached to Jocelyn the doll, then it's a good spirit because it hasn't bothered me at all. But I tell you, I'm kidding you not, the cat is now sitting outside the studio meowing, trying to get into the studio. So,
well, see, that's interesting because the doll actually got lost and went to one of my old addresses, and one of the ladies that bought the house off me found it, and she kept it for like 3 days, and she said that her dog had been acting very, very weird, and she said he never does that, but he's been acting like, because she said he loves children, they don't have children, and she said he's been acting like there's a child in the house, like he wants to play, and he's around that doll. So there's two things going on right there.
So it's a little freaky, but it's a beautiful doll, and I don't think there's anything bad about it, and I'm thinking it's going to be a fine addition to hopefully having one day the Demon Hunter Haunted Museum. So
you wake up and she's eating your liver with some fava beans.
Hey, Sean, on that note, I think we should probably go to a break so we can come back with our guest for the week.
Absolutely. You're going to have to do the band information tonight, Demon Hunter. I am unprepared once again. That's how we do the show. But we did get a good band, guys, from GarageBand.com, and kind of a
that
kind
would
of cool
be Frank McCracken out of Seattle.
That's the name of the song, Frank McCracken.
Sean, I don't know how to say this. G-N-A-R-L-E-N-E.
Narlene?
The Narlene song?
Yeah, the Narlene song.
Okay. The Narlene song.
The name of the band actually is Narlene, guys. You can find out more about that. It's a G, Narlene. You can find out more about that at garageband.com. The name of the song is Frank. What was it, Demon Hunter?
Frank McCracken.
Frank McCracken. So you guys enjoy that. Stay tuned, and we're coming back with Sheena Metal.
And get your fix, folks, because we're going to take a vacation after after this week. We'll be back on the 28th. But so stay tuned for Sheena Metal after this. And Sean, I'm trying to find the next thing to hit on the controls here. Oh, there it is. See? Not prepared. Not prepared at all. There we go. And as everything blows up, we'll be right back.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
Welcome to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. Get your weekly download to all things ghostly and paranormal, and then some. Test your knowledge of the paranormal with haunted trivia. Email your otherworldly experiences for parashare and listen in to the rants and useless banter of Laura and Brian. If they've got an opinion on the paranormal,
or even a great pub,
they'll talk about it. The Deadline can be easily downloaded from the njghs.net website. You can also listen to archive shows at podcastalley.com. Say, while at Podcast Alley, cast a vote for The Deadline, because everyone knows that at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.
Look out, Captain Cook, the Klingons are attacking. Ain't a thing, Mr. Spock. It's tall, Frank McCracken. He's the man with the plan. You put it into action. Drop to his knees and give you satisfaction. Well, he's a one-man show, a disco dynamo. You ought to see him strutting at the Starfleet a-go-go. Clack and go, change and shake, and his buns, he's got a phaser in his trousers, and he's set it on stun. Frank McCracken! Frank McCracken! Frank McCracken! Out with thugs and all the guys dig him too, because he's got the best drugs. He waxes up his head until it's real shiny. The blue sweat flares with the flat of his honey. A Frank McCracken. Frank McCracken. Frank McCracken. A Frank McCracken. Get out on the floor and dance some more. You know the reaper's coming soon. He's gonna settle your score. Frank McCracken. Frank McCracken. Now Frank McCracken.
The Darker Side of the Moon is an alternative talk variety show.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Since 2006, host Becky Ray and Laura Moon speak with independent filmmakers, authors, musicians, artists, and many, many more.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Sometimes serious, mostly fun, the show has a little for everyone.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Was it odd, freaky, and you didn't hear it on the 5 o'clock news? Then we'll probably cover it here.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Darker Side currently airs live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
If you happen to miss it, you can listen to show archives at any time online at DarkerSideRadio.com, or you may subscribe to the show on iTunes.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Hi, this is Stacey Horn, author of Unbelievable, and you're listening to The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here.
Hey, yes, yes, welcome back, world. Yes. Excellent. Hey, John Magnus just told me I was drinking Mickey's Fine Malt Liquor. And he told me to look under the cap. I totally spaced that, John. They got hidden message under each cap.
How do you not know that? That's the best thing about Mickey's. You get really lit and try to translate that stuff.
Dude, I didn't know it. Like, I'm looking at this one. It's got a like a crossed out symbol, and then it's got a looks like a cup of water being filled up, and then it's got an and sign and a ball on a tee, a golf ball on a tee.
So translation, not my cup of tea.
Not my cup of tea. There you go.
Ta-da! Look at that.
See, I was trying to come up with that there, Magnus, and I was too busy puffing down on my nub cigar that I got this week at Butthead's Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut.
Butthead. Well, I got this one that's got a big M, an eyeball, a tree, and a cross. Big M, eyeball, tree, cross.
My tree. I don't know. I can't figure that one out.
Big tree, eyeball.
Big M, big eyeball, big tree, little cross.
I don't know that one. I was good to the other one. See, I should have stopped when I was ahead.
See,
Damn. There we go.
Wait, I got to write this down now. So it's a big M, a big tree.
No, a big tree M, a big eyeball. Then a big tree. I don't know what kind of tree it is. I've drunk like three of these things. You know, I can't see after that, bud.
In Vegas, they sell 40s of those. You know that?
Wow.
Yeah, it's epic. It's epic.
Dude, Mickey's destroy your mind.
Reason you and I like him so much. Come on.
Yeah,
look at that.
My goodness. My goodness.
Since we're talking about losing our mind there, Sean, let's bring on tonight's guest.
Let's do it.
We lost our mind over her when we were on her show just a few weeks ago, and that would be Sheena Metal. Welcome to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, Sheena.
Hi, guys. It's great to be here. How are y'all out there tonight?
Hello.
We're good.
Oh. That's beautiful. You're almost a choir.
I know it. We're all together, and we're all feeling good. It's another Sunday night. That's the worst part about it. Now, do you have a show, Sheena? Because you're from the Sheena Metal Experience on LA Talk Radio. And do you have another show coming up tonight, or you already did yours?
No, I do the Experience Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then I do my music show, Music Highway, on Thursday afternoons from 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific. And on this week I'm starting a new paranormal show on LA Talk Radio called Haunted Playground.
Oh, she's the competition. Get her off this.
You are
get her
busy.
Off the panel. It's
They want to come see me and hang out on the playground with me.
Oh, we will.
Ooh, I'm there. Totally there.
I'm doing some paranormal stuff on my show. I think at the station was like, hey, why don't you get your own paranormal show? And I'm like, all right, cool.
You know, speaking of that, Sheena, the stories that we're going to talk about tonight, you have a very, very deep history with the haunted. You have a deep haunted history. How about that?
I do. I have a haunted history. That's true. Yeah. I grew up in a haunted house, and it was awful.
Yeah. You know, what kind of stuff did you deal with there? You know, like I everybody's heard my story. I grew up in a house. It wasn't like it was real scary. Things did happen, but I don't think it was anything evil.
Most of us grew up in a house, Sean. My house had no hot water or flushing toilets, but I grew up in one.
That one is haunted now, I think.
It's been bulldozed at this point.
Yeah. I think they call it a teepee.
Yes.
Progress.
I like her. She's cool.
You know, basically, the house I grew up in, you know, like everything that you've ever seen on a ghost show, it all happened in that house. I spent half my life, because I love the paranormal shows. You know, I'm a big fan of Extreme Paranormal. That's how I found you guys. I love all the shows, TiVo, all the shows. And I basically sit through every show going, oh, yeah, that happened. Uh-huh, and that happened.
So
oh, yeah, that
somebody
happened. Yeah,
buried
happened
someone alive in your house? That's really cool.
Yeah, there was actually a Cajun voodoo graveyard in the house I grew up in. And we had it instead of a dining room. No, I'm just kidding.
Got to pass the salt. Yeah. Got to reach over the skull. You know, it's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it all started with, you know, that thing, that smothery thing where whatever in the house will try and smother you in the night. That was kind
of
how
incubus,
it started.
One of those, or succubus, one of those things like that?
Well, I don't think it was really a succubus. I mean,
I'm just hoping,
I'm
sorry.
Prom or sex with me or anything.
That was Sean.
That would be the crone. The crone sits on you at night while you're sleeping.
That's right.
Yeah, actually, you're right, exactly. If it was having sex with me, I might not have asked it to leave.
I thought crone was like a roll or something that you ate. Wasn't it like an Irish food?
A crawler,
or something?
Really.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of how it started. I mean, it really started in the room that I grew up in, and I thought I was going crazy. It started when I was, an adolescent, a teenager, and then I found out later, though, after it all kicked up from my parents, that even before I ever saw anything in that room, weird stuff would go on when I wasn't there. Like, they would hear closet doors slamming and the window opening and closing and things banging up there. But, you know, right. I never, from the time we moved there, I never could sleep in that room. And I had an overactive imagination anyhow when I was a kid. I wasn't the easiest kid to get to bed. So I just figured it was pretty normal, but it... Now looking back, it was just not a good place to sleep.
Well, was it like an attic room or what?
You know, it was a second floor room, but it backed up to an attic. It was one of those houses like that was real popular in the 70s where there'd be the really kind of very long sloping roof. So there was an area over the garage that was empty. And when we first moved there, my dad cut the ceiling out of the garage and used it to store wood. So nothing had been back there at all until he cut that hole. And that area backed up to my bedroom.
Did you guys ever get to research the house and find out if bad things happened there or who lived there before you, stuff like that?
Only one family lived there before us, and the story was that they moved because they were going to a retirement home. So who knows? It was a weird thing where... after I had moved out when I was in college, my parents started getting their son's mail all of a sudden. And I don't know what that was about. Because it didn't come there for years, and then all of a sudden it did, like somebody was trying to forward it back to the last known address. But, you know, the whole neighborhood was weird, and I think the problem with that house went way beyond that house. I think it was the whole neighborhood. It was, you know, one of those places that's below sea level and, you know, on an Indian area, and everybody in the neighborhood slept with their lights on, and the neighbors were always every year or so coming and going, and no one ever stayed in any of those homes, except for my parents stayed for a while, but I think we were some of the longest ones.
Now, I remember Sheena growing up, and I dealt with something similar to what you're dealing with, the people walking down the stairs, and then they would get to the bottom, and they would whisper, and every once in a while, you'd see them walk, you know, real fast to the dining room or whatever. So I know it scared me to the point, nothing ever, you know, attacked me or anything like that, but as a girl or a young boy growing up in a house like that, you never forget this stuff.
No, you don't, and it's actually been easier since all these really cool paranormal shows have started, because you don't feel, I think instinctually we're culturally raised to think that we made the whole thing up.
Right.
And I think that once you see that other people have been through the exact same stuff, then you realize that you didn't make it up. And I think part of what scares you is just not knowing what it is. I mean, you know, once you realize what it is, then it's not nearly as scary as just thinking that maybe you're going crazy.
Right. Still kind of creepy, even when you know it's old Grandpa Harry. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, and my mom is so funny because she said to me, well, I don't know how you can go to all these scary houses and do your investigations. You were scared to death to live in that house. I said, yeah, but I go to these places for one night and then I never go there again. I don't have to keep going back there every night and living there.
Oh, that, and you know, it's one of those things, like I said, I started doing this because I was afraid of it. And to defeat my fear, you know?
Right.
My brother and I both did that. We grew up in a house that had a lot of weird things going on. And it's funny, now I've gone to other houses, like, it's so funny to be in a house that's not that way. Like, it feels like there's something kind of missing almost, because I grew up in a house for 20-something years, had always some weird stuff happening. That, and my parents were always supportive. If we saw something, we'd say it. And they saw things as well, and they would say it as well. It's definitely was a experience growing up, and I became into paranormal just to figure out what the hell was going on. So,
by the way, guys, I just got to throw this out paranormal. Here,
Sheena. I love the idea of paranormal, but I always thought if I saw anything, I'd pee my pants. So I certainly would. But my mom, on the other hand, you know, she was my folks were older when they had me, so she's like the Christian era, and she definitely, I think, is part of just coming into her own spirituality and never being able to talk about the paranormal when she was little. And my mom has amazing psychic gifts that she doesn't work as a psychic, but she just is. So I think that she kind of wanted to believe in all of that stuff and always wanted to see something. And, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, I just got to throw this out there. Upsy-daisy in the chat room figured out your thing, Sean. It's my treat. M-I-tree-T. My treat.
That's it.
So, oh, that's cool. That's true.
My treat.
This is the OCD, or I'm sorry, the what is it when you can't follow one thing at a time?
Yeah, ADD. Yeah.
ADD, paranormal.
It's called being Sean, I thought, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that happens to me too. But Sheena, you know, it's interesting you brought that up because it seems like that happens with a lot of families that have paranormal activity and poltergeist activity and stuff going on in their homes, that their family, they have some type of history where, yes, your grandmother was very psychic or she was sensitive. You know what I mean? Because that happened in our family too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I mean, you know, my dad, who is not at all psychic and who does everything he can to not believe in anything, and he claimed he never saw anything. But it's funny because at Christmas, you know, you guys know I produced a paranormal documentary last year, and it came out this year. And I took it to my parents and showed it to them for Christmas. And, you know, my dad became very fascinated with the technical aspect of ghost hunting because he's an engineer and he likes science. So suddenly it was all about the, you know, the EVPs and how do you get those and the audio and how you clean up the audio. He got very into the whole mechanics of it because that's his thing. And he actually copped on Christmas Day to having seen stuff in that house. And
oh, really?
He never would before. But he said that once he saw a guy that kind of looked like a Franciscan monk standing by his bed and then kind of sat on the edge of the bed, and that one other time he saw a man in a blue shirt that was just kind of staring at him while he was sleeping. So, I mean, for my dad to admit that, because my dad, you know, doesn't admit to, you know, God, aliens, Loch Ness Monster, I mean, none of it. If it's not right in a science book, it never happened.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's how my father is, too. It seems like they're all the same, a lot of them, you know? That dad, it took him, I don't know how many years of me doing this ghost stuff and him laughing about it, to finally say, well, you know, one time when I was walking down this road in Kentucky, me and my buddy could have swore we seen a ghost get out, run across the street from a cemetery, you know? And I was like, Dad, where you been for the last 30 years, you know?
What, was it Zombie Road in Kentucky?
No, it wasn't Zombie Road. But they were actually walking back from a swimming hole, and, you know, this would have been back in the 40s or 50s, and they were coming down this old road, and Dad said he seen a man in, like, a black trench coat, kind of dark, just a dark figure, and he ran right in front of him from the cemetery.
And flashed him, and then they cried. Oh, wait.
And then he disappeared. Yeah, and that happened to be your father, John. That's what happened.
My dad is a guy like that. He's a funny dude. He would do that.
Now, here's my question for everybody here. We've all had weird experiences, and a lot of people in the paranormal had those experiences when they were young. Do you think when they go into haunted houses looking for stuff now that they're finding stuff there, or that it's something following them, and it would appear to them almost anywhere, but the energy's just there better for them to see it?
I've seen a case where it seems like someone was being followed by the case. You know, so like I had a girl that she had this odd experiences growing up, and the house that she lived in, all houses had that same thing. She went into a paranormal investigation kind of field, and all the houses, they had similar sort of EVPs being found and odd experiences, but only when she was kind of around. So, you know, I personally don't think anything really follows me around because, I mean, I'm kind of a big scary guy. I think they have other things to follow around. But I don't know. that maybe, you know, she has some probably different person to talk to. She probably has a lot more stories.
Stink follows you around, John. Stink.
You know, that nickname for you is so cute, actually. I love calling you Stink. And you always follow me around, squeezing my butt.
That's true. That's how I roll, man. That's how I get down.
Sheena, you said you filmed a documentary this year or last year, and it came out this year. What's the documentary called?
It's called Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting. And basically, it's kind of it was a story of a friend of mine, and the director is psychic Danielle Agnew. I know you guys have had her on the show, on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And friends of mine who were on, are assigned to a label that I did A&R for in Washington, they had a kid, so they thought, oh, we have to get a real job and only not be musicians, and they were living on a boat at the time and basically just playing music. So they got the idea to buy this dilapidated old house in Kalama, Washington, and convert it into a bed and breakfast, and that was where they were going to live, and that was going to be their day job when they weren't touring. And the house had an enormous history. They discovered later, after things started happening there, it was reportedly a brothel. It was reportedly an illegal abortion clinic. It's on the ley lines. It has a running fountain of water. There's a running stream in the basement that comes in from the river next door. So it's literally sitting on water.
Wow.
And the land where it was, tens of thousands of Native Americans died there during an illness epidemic. I mean, like everything you can think of. I mean, the house is just, it's, you know, if you believed in curses, the house is cursed. And basically it tore their entire lives apart, and they wound up, they're now no longer in the house. So it kind of was just one of those things where they were like, well, they were not believers. They were just kept telling stories about it, and this happened and that happened. So we brought a crew up there and went through it and got some amazing stuff. And now they're no longer in the house, and it's probably terrifying again. I've heard people that live up there have sent emails saying that they've been by and they wanted to go in, but it's all boarded up. And, you know, I think some places are just bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they are. I think they're like people. Some places just have some people are just bad. You know, they're bad to the bone. And I think it comes from a long history of a violent past, and bad things happened. You know, somebody said something. I was watching that Cesar Chavez or whatever talking about the dog whisperer. And he said, you know, bad dogs aren't made, they're created. And I started thinking about that with houses. You know, with houses,
yeah.
Because you have a house, right? It's built, and it's built usually with a good intent to give shelter, warmth, and you know, and some kind of something to a family, usually. And over the years, the tragedies that happen, the human occurrences that go on and take place, just build up and build up and build up. And I think it comes to a pressure point where it just explodes. And the first person with any kind of psychic ability at all, sometimes not even psychic ability, boom, hits them like a ton of bricks when they walk in.
Well, that's yeah. The key effect, where we've often talked about some people are keys and some houses are keyholes, and when that person shows up, everything goes crazy. We believe that was the effect with the haunting in Connecticut, with you know, and the Amityville Horror House, and even Sean Whisper's Estate, which we love to go to.
I so want to go there.
Was one of those keyhole effects. If you showed up with what was his name?
Jared.
And he was there with you when you were investigating. Everything happened. You could go there and catch stuff without Jared, but if Jared was there, the house went crazy. I mean, we had children crying out in the house while I was there, and I thought people were messing with me because it sounded so real.
Footsteps running up and down the staircase across the, you know, men growling since sounds in the corners, windows shaking, stuff like that. And then some nights when he's not there, nothing would happen. You know, it just, it was pretty amazing place to go to. And even some of the, Jarrett told me himself, some of the previous owners that had lived in, you know, that place before it became a bed and breakfast had reported no hauntings whatsoever or no haunting activities. So, you know, a place could lay dormant for years and then, you know, boom. And I think it's the same thing with Amityville Horror House, stuff like that. I think certain people, different circumstances, you know what I mean?
I think some places, too.
Amityville has such a history of of the Native American activity there, and those creepy old Puritans there, and the creepy old Puritan guy that was even too creepy to be a Puritan, so broke off from that sect and moved to that neighborhood. I mean, that area of the land. I mean, you know, honestly, there's just a lot of New England, and I'm from New England, and I know you guys are in that area too. I mean, New England has just a lot of creepiness. I mean, there's just
oh yeah.
Well,
you know, all those Puritans, they brought all their really weird energy with them, and that whole area can be just really terrifying.
And you know,
you were talking. Go ahead, Nate.
I'm sorry. I was just saying that you know, Jason, our other partner on the show, couldn't be here tonight, but he has a history with Amityville because he trained under George Lutz, who was the gentleman it all happened to.
And, well, that's right.
Yeah, and you know, George even admitted that you know, this stuff happened while they were there, and you know, it was taken out of context in the book and the movie and everything like that, but that he's not surprised that it didn't happen to other people. And you know, I honestly, watching the movie, reading the book, hearing the stories from George, think more than George, it was one of his children who were the keys to that house
that right. made all as this is often happen. The case, because they're weaker.
Or they've just got, they might be weaker, but they might just have more energy, and it's not controlled energy. It's out there and flying around.
You know, and I know people don't want to be gullible, but what really got me with doing the filming last summer and everything with Extreme Paranormal is that we went out there, we worked very hard, and we got some really good stuff. And when we gave it to the world, some people came back and said, oh my God, that's so phony. And it wasn't. So it's like... Yeah, even when the truth is in front of someone, even in the face of truth, you could still say it's phony, you know. So I don't know. I mean, what do we have to do as paranormal investigators to prove we'll never prove to everybody?
You never will prove to everyone. No.
Right, but at least prove to a percentage of the population. Give them something. What do we have to provide? You know what I mean? What's it going to take?
It's crazy what it needs. I mean, coming from like the crypto side of things, you always say, oh, you need a body. Well, if you look at the giant panda, when that thing was found, people were talking about this giant black and white bear, and they actually brought corpses, you know, back, and people still didn't believe it. They thought they just died the bear. You know, some people do not want to believe. It's what they are wired for, and to believe would mean they were wrong at some point, and some people will not ever admit they're wrong. So I think the best thing is just fight the good fight and try to, you know, stick to the scientific methods that work well and try to just keep doing what you're doing. I don't know.
Just keep on, yeah, keep it on.
I mean, there are people that don't believe that we went to space. I mean, there are people that don't believe in the Holocaust. I mean, you know, honestly, there are people that just don't believe in anything. And what are you going to do with them? I mean, look at how many people didn't believe in the giant squid, and now they still don't believe. They think it's fake.
You know what I think it is, though, Sheena? I think it's just easier. The old-timers, you know, it's easier to walk down those lonely stairs or that lonely road at night passing the cemetery not believing in ghosts.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's easier to do that, not believing in ghosts, not believing in demons, stuff like that, because if you open your mind up and go, what if, then all of a sudden everything's an option.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Well, and it's safer. It's more. There's more fear involved in believing in everything than believing in nothing. As long as you can shut it off.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people also shut. I think with my dad, he's a disenfranchised Catholic, and I think a lot of what he doesn't believe in anything because he associates it all with Catholicism.
Sure.
You know, everything religious is everything spiritual and paranormal. He associates with religion, and he
That's
doesn't like religion,
is.
So therefore none of it's true.
My dad and your dad should get a Facebook page together. They should friend each other because that's how my dad gets down. He will actually, and I commend him for this, because ever since I was a kid, I remember my dad going to his knees and saying his prayers every night for himself and our family and anything, whatever you think, anything like that that shows that much dedication in somebody. And you know what I'm saying? My hat's off to it. And I remember every time I would talk about ghost hunting and stuff like that, he would pull out a scripture and read it to me. And it was kind of cool because the Bible has a lot of different chapters and pages on spirits and demons and possession
sure,
and stuff like that. You know, so, I mean, the Bible doesn't speak out against it. It tells you that it's real.
Now, you're now in investigating these houses, and we talked when we were on your show, and You know, that was something you started getting into. When did you start investigating yourself?
You know, I haven't done a lot of investigating. I've done most of my stuff, really for the last 15 years, I've done late night radio. So I've missed a lot of the good investigations. I think probably now that I'm starting this new show and the movie's out, and now everybody, all the cool people that I've had on my talk show, all want me to come and investigate with them. So I think that I'll wind up doing a lot more of that. I think that when everyone else was going through their investigation phase, I was living in a house that was so active that the last thing I wanted to do was investigate when I wasn't at home. There was no time I ever got away from it.
Right.
So my strength lays really more in historian stuff. I study and I research and I talk to people and I find out what's wrong with houses. That's kind of what really interests me.
Well, yeah. What do you think about poltergeist activity? What do you think that is? Now, a lot of people claim that adolescent teens, specifically, adolescent young women. And what do you think? Do you think they could possibly spark this activity in homes when they move in there?
You know, I think that they may add to the activity, but I've never bought that poltergeist was, you know, some girl that just got her period. I've always thought that was so weird.
Yeah.
That we even thought that. I mean, really, honestly, it's just, there's something kind of really creepy and, you know, weird Middle Ages Spanish Inquisition about that.
Yeah.
And again, the weird Puritans that we descended from. I mean, that's such a weird kind of, oh, the girl is bleeding, it must be her. I mean, I just don't believe that.
Well, you know, it's that whole masculine idea that if it bleeds for 3 days and doesn't die, something's wrong.
Exactly.
You know,
something is wrong. Exactly. So burn it, drown it, stone it, do what you have to do because something's just not right.
She's a witch, burn her!
Exactly. And if she doesn't burn, then we were wrong. I think it's just poltergeist and nasty spirits. I think they're just more unpleasant. I mean, you know, I mean, ideally, I think what makes everybody the most comfortable is, you know, residual hauntings, the thing that just walks in a circle and doesn't pay attention to you. But the truth is that there's a lot of stuff out there that's just not pleasant. And I think poltergeists are just trouble-causing spirits.
Well, I got to tell you, when we were walking the halls of the old prison filming Extreme Paranormal, it would have been a heck of a lot easier for me not to believe in ghosts, especially when you went to your bathroom breaks on your own. There was no lights in the building, and they give you this little bitty Energizer bunny lantern, and you got to carry it down through this prison where these terrible, terrible murders happen. I mean, we're talking human carcasses just everywhere, and spleens hanging on walls and hearts, you know, on the ceiling and stuff like that. And here I am in the bathroom with no lights, just sitting there whistling a tune, you know. So did you ever run into anything like that when you were on the set? Did you ever get that spooky feeling? Because I know we did.
You know, I was not on the set of Montgomery House. They were there and I was here because, well, first of all, you're the producer and you've got to figure out how to pay for it all. And secondly, I had just gotten the Sheet of Metal Experience, so I was doing prep for that show. It was just kind of one of those things where the opportunity came to film, and we wanted to get in there and film before Eric and Juliana left, because we knew they were thinking about walking out of the house, and you know, and the investigators wanted to stay in the house.
Well, tell us a little bit of the story behind
that. I can tell you, I went to the Queen Mary last year, and we had been there all night long, and then I was with some friends, and they wanted to go try to find the engine room and the bottom of the ship, and I was like, you know what? I've been going all day. I haven't slept. I'm just going to sit here in the bar and just hang out and look out the window and, you know, maybe take a nap. Because it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, I don't know if you know this, but the Queen Mary's kind of changing owners right now, so it's not always filled to capacity because the last owners kind of let the promotion on it lapse, so the ship was very empty comparatively. So I fell asleep, and the next thing I remember, my friends were waking me up, and I was so, it was almost like I didn't know who I was, I didn't feel like I was me, and I was really kind of irritated and angry, and my friends were like, what's wrong with you? And I just kept saying, look, I need to get off this ship, and luckily we were on the level where the front desk is, so we went down the stairs, and we were outside waiting for the valet. And, you know, when you go wait for the valet, you literally cross off the ship onto the dock. And just being off the ship, I felt better. And to this day, I don't know what it was. But I can tell you that earlier that night when I got there, we were in the bar, and I got up to go to the bathroom, and I felt like, you know, like 50 people were following me to the bathroom. I mean, I just felt like there was a horde of energy walking down
well,
the hall.
You do have a lot of
the
fans,
bathroom, and I found myself talking to them, and then I felt like a complete idiot because then there was a living person looking at me like I was a complete freak. But, I mean, you just kind of feel like they follow you around, and my friend was playing the piano in there, and they have a beautiful piano that was, I don't know, in Buckingham Palace or some kind of a relic or something, and they gave it to the Queen Mary when she was still sailing. So there's this kind of, you know, 90-year-old bartender that works there, and she's like, you want to see some of the pictures I take when I'm working? And she hands me this phone, and it's got these pictures in it, and it's just, there's, you know, there's images sitting at the bar. There's 400 orbs in one spot of all different colors. There's a place where she's standing serving drinks, and it looks like a guy is standing right next to her, only he's made of mist. And I don't think that she really understood what she was taking pictures of. She just thought she was getting all these bright, pretty colors.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's amazing. That's one place I would love to go to.
It's awesome.
The Queen Mary.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Montgomery House that you did the film about?
Sure. What do you want to know about the house?
Well, you did a whole documentary on it. I'd like to tell the listeners to hear a little bit about it so they might run out and buy the DVD.
It really is a fascinating combination of what can happen to a house when every paranormal thing you can think of is its history. And that's kind of what the house I lived in as a kid was like. And that was what really appealed to me about it. Like I said, it was a place where many Native Americans died. It's on Native American special land. We interviewed a Native American holy man and a tribal historian in the film. And the holy man actually did a Cowlitz Indian cleansing at the end, which is amazing. He was amazing. It literally has a running stream in the basement. I've never seen anything like that in my life. But it's like the water comes in the wall, and it just runs right through. I don't know who thought to build a house on a running stream, but somebody did.
That's amazing.
And, you know, lots of... it was interesting because it was easy to get people to talk about it. And I thought, because, you know, Kalama is very far south. It's almost to the Oregon border, and it's really in the middle of nowhere. It's the place where they filmed all the school scenes from Twilight.
Oh, okay.
It's a very small town. It doesn't have a McDonald's. I mean, it's so small it doesn't have chain restaurants. You have to go to the next town if you want to go to Pizza Hut. And so it's all very, very, you know, Americana. Yeah, that was the scariest thing, was no Pizza Hut and no McDonald's.
Oh, you L.A. people with your Pizza Huts and McDonald's.
Yes,
see, we're good old country folk. We look for a Hooters.
Oh, yeah, there's no Hooters. No, if you had asked where Hooters was, some old salt would have pointed you to a couple of owls on a branch.
Yeah. Hooters, young fella.
So, you know, it literally chased a family out. And I think you can tell when you see the film that they're about ready to go when the filming was done, because they were significantly freaked out. And it was interesting because his experience in the house was very different than hers. Yet they, you know, bought the house at the same time, were in the house at the same time. I don't know why they didn't leave sooner with a baby, because having grown up in a house like that, I certainly wouldn't put a small kid in a house like that. And he was the one who kind of, and this is kind of an interesting thing that you guys probably have some insight on. He was the one that really got into the house. Because it was a complete wreck when they got it. So he tore up all the walls. He replaced every bit of the electricity. He replaced all the pipes. He replaced all the drywall. And there are photos of him doing that you can see in the film when he was doing it. When I met him, I met them both at the same time when I started working for the label. He was like the sweetest, most congenial, even-tempered musician you have ever met in your life. We had a label retreat right when they were leaving the house, so it was 2 months after the movie was shot, and I went up there. And he was like a totally different person. He was irritable. He was withdrawn. He was, most of the time we were all sitting around talking about strategizing for the label, he was in a totally different room. He didn't even come in with us. He would come in and bark a couple of orders at his wife, pick up his kid and leave. I mean, and I remember saying to everybody, gosh, I so liked him last year, and he's very different now. And everybody just kind of, you know, walked the house. I think everybody just thought it was like it was just a thing that had happened, and people probably thought it was he was stressed because of the financial problems, or they were stressed because they were having all kinds of problems with the city of Kalama trying to get it sanctioned to be a bed and breakfast. So I probably just thought it was life stress, but he was really a different person, and it was funny because when I moved out of my house and my parents were still there, and I would go back and spend time with them, and we'd be sitting there, you know, watching TV, and something would start knocking on the walls, and I could see their dynamic and how they would kind of snap at each other. And I remember thinking, wow, I didn't really realize how unhappy I was when I lived in this house until I was gone. And I could very much see that in him after having lived in that house for a year. So right. It's interesting how that atmosphere really can change your personality. I mean, like George Lutz is a good example of that.
But that's what I was getting ready to say. That could possibly be signs of possession. I mean, if you wanted to go that far with it.
Yeah.
What did you think about that, Sheena, growing up in a haunted house? Because I know that crossed my mind a couple of times. But being from a Irish Catholic, Southern Baptist background, they talked a lot about possession, demonic possession, stuff in the Bible like that. And I remember, you know, me and my mom, we knew we had a haunted house. I remember thinking, what if this is real and one of them jump in me or something? Did you ever think about that when you was a kid?
I don't think I did. I wasn't raised, obviously I wasn't raised in an overly religious home. My mom was kind of a metaphysically leaning, disenfranchised Baptist who was adopted by Presbyterians that didn't go to church. And my dad, had gotten divorced and left the church. So right. There wasn't a lot of, like, churchy church. I mean, we celebrated Christmas, and, my mom had a nativity scene, and we went to church for a little while when I was a kid, and she taught Sunday school, but it was not a fire and brimstone church.
Right.
So I don't think possession really ever occurred to me, although I have to tell you that my folks fight a lot. I don't want to shock you guys. Irish home. My folks fight a lot. And my dad is kind of withdrawn and kind of into his own work and his design work. He's not the happiest camper on earth. Did I say that in a genteel enough way?
Yes.
And I've always kind of thought that maybe that unhappiness, that the negativity that came through the house played on that.
Well, that's a good possibility.
That it likes unhappiness, that the unhappier you are, the more it can come in and play in the house. And I don't mean come inside you and your head spins around and you spit the pea soup, but I just mean be in the house in general. Because my mom would fight that thing back. I mean, my mom is a badass, stubborn Irish Scorpio, and she would scream at that thing, just tell it to screw off, and she would start screaming at it, and it would go away for a while. I mean, I used to say that, my childhood was a grudge match between the hole to hell and my stubborn Irish mother. But in a lot of ways, that was true. I mean, she would fight it. And it fought her back, because she got the worst of it. I mean, she was the one that got hit with things the most, and things would fly and bang into her. I mean, it didn't like her.
Well, Sheena, also, I've looked at, like, your site and all the different people you have on the show. And I was going to ask you about, like, some of the people you've had on your show and stuff. But
sure.
I've got to ask you a few questions. One, I had noticed the first time I looked at your site that you had interviewed one of the Golden Girls.
That's true.
And she had had a haunted experience. But I didn't listen to that archive yet. So did you actually get to talk to her about her haunted experience?
I didn't talk to her about that. But I will the next time I have her on, for sure. Mostly we talked about her shooting a raunchy sex scene in her 70s. It was pretty much a raunchy discussion. So if if you guys were the
raunchy discussion with Blanche, that just doesn't seem right.
It was pretty much a sex show. But I did. It was after she was on the show. She was on the show in August that I did see her on Celebrity Ghost Stories, and I thought that her experience was really interesting.
Well, mentioning the raunchy sex talk and everything, I've got to ask you about these things you have on your website, like Ask the Dominatrix and ask the stripper and ask the, you know, who are these people and what are the people asking them?
Everything they want.
You know, I spent 7 years of my life working on the Howard Stern station in Los Angeles here when Howard was there. So it is true that my two best friends are a dominatrix and a stripper. And so they're regulars on my show, and they
you're now my
and
best
then...
friend, actually.
And we'll talk about all different kinds of sex topics. I'm also endorsed by a sex toy company, Topco Sales, and mostly their product line, Girl Toys. My band endorses. It's like pink dildos and pink whips and, you know, pink furry cuffs. But sometimes they'll bring on the more hardcore.
Playing with your dinghy.
What?
John has control of the sound effects. Don't mind him.
Oh. I thought you were getting possessed on your own, but not by a ghost.
I was doing the...
Quit playing with your dinghy.
Quit playing with your dinghy. Yeah.
He said, he's getting possessed, all right. Yeah.
Right now I'm sitting in my living room, and there are boxes of vibrators and dildos all around me, and I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to store them. Because when my band plays, we throw them out at the audience.
You can actually send a box
hey,
of them.
Throw
Champ.
Vibrators at the audience? Wow.
Yeah, we do. He's so when you get sex toys when you come to see us play.
I need Magnus to move Apollo. To L.A. I need to move to L.A.
I'm in the wrong city, apparently. Yeah. I tell you.
You guys so need to come to L.A. Exactly.
How
yes.
do we, how do we get sponsored by a sex toy company?
Dildo company.
Do you really want to be sponsored by a dildo company? I mean, wow, you'd probably be attracting the wrong sort of people, I think,
hey,
at that point.
I don't know. Jason is already the number one star on Chubarama.net, so...
Yeah,
That second chin really helps him push over the edge on that one, I think. That really helped.
I think it helps me, too.
And nobody recognizes me anywhere I go. They all like, I'm like, well, no, I'm on Extreme Paranormal. And they're like, are you the guy with all the tattoos? No. Well,
yes.
You're not
yes,
the chubby guy.
I'm the one that wants to...
Nobody recognizes the demon hunter.
So, Sheena, who
are
was
you
your favorite... What's your favorite paranormal television show out there now?
Oh God, I don't really have a favorite.
You
know,
you were
like
supposed
the
to say Extreme Paranormal.
Extreme Paranormal, I love. I really like Extreme Paranormal. Do you guys want me to say? Can I mention the competition? Is that okay?
No, go ahead. You can say anything you want, Sheena. You've got open range here.
I love Extreme Paranormal. I'm really liking The Haunted on Animal Planet right now.
Yes.
I love that
show. They mix in the animals and how animals react to things, and I saw that when I was growing up with my dogs in the house, and I really like that. You know, I like them all. I like Ghost Hunters International because I like all the new locations that you haven't seen before that are outside of the country that I think are really interesting.
I like the Ghost Lab. That's pretty good. Just from the science side of things and all their technology. I met those guys a little while ago.
Where I think they were like my first paranormal guest, I think. They were my first ghost hunter. I think I had Chip Coffee on first, and I love Chip. And then I had on Barry and Brad from Ghost Lab, and
those
I
those are
love
two very
show.
Cool guys. I met those guys, and they have no neck. Neither of them have a neck between them. Very big dudes.
Well, you have to pay a tax on having a neck in Chicago. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I thought I was big compared to those guys. I walk up and like, hey, how you doing? Like they should be called like T-Bone and Chuck. You know, they're huge.
Yeah. What about Paranormal Cops? I have them on this week.
Oh,
I love
you?
That show because they do everything from a police standpoint. At the end, they bring out like a little file and they show it to the client and they like deduce if it's haunted by all these different things, and it's like police work, and it's kind of an interesting combination of the two.
I started watching it the first night and I thought it was a half hour, so I turned off the TV after the half and didn't realize it was a whole hour, and didn't go back after that. I didn't have the time to watch, so I don't know what the show
is
like.
Really good. I like it. You guys are on A&E, and there's a lot of them on A&E. It's really turning into a paranormal network.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. Paranormal and Steven Seagal, right? That's the new thing they have going on.
That's it. Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
A little paranormal about Steven Seagal.
It's just his hair. That's the paranormal
thing.
Give
us some paranormal on Steven Seagal.
Like you're not quite like I think almost like if I was a cryptozoologist, I might hunt Steven Seagal.
I tried it. He's got a lot of security around him. Holy cow.
You know what I always thought though? When he does his intro to the Steven Seagal Show on A&E, how in the world was he an actor doing all these movies and he was a full-time cop the whole time? Because while we were filming, it was hard for me to keep my job. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think he was, right?
No,
he was some kind of a bodyguard, right? And then he was some kind of a Secret Service agent or something, and then he made all those movies, and now I think maybe he's not making so many movies. He had a band
you
for
see
a while.
His movies? Come on.
Yeah.
They were great.
Yeah.
I'll go with the one that the girl from Baywatch was on that one. That's the one I ever watch. I'm sorry. I just fast forward to that one scene. She jumps out of a cake, and then I turn it off. And
well, that was
happened,
Under Siege, so. The original Under Siege.
Somebody in the chat room just mentioned another show called American Paranormal on the National Geographic Channel. Haven't heard of it, Terry, but thanks for letting us know about it.
Yeah.
Have to check that out.
I'll TiVo it. I haven't heard of it either, but I'll TiVo it. There was supposed to be one that somebody mentioned, and by the time I found out about it, I couldn't find it anymore. I think it was on, I want to say Bravo, and it was like a bunch of psychics that go somewhere and hunt.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. You didn't miss much, I think. I caught part of that. I forget the name of it. I caught part of it.
Most Haunted.
Is that it? Yeah, I think that was it.
Wasn't it Most Haunted? The British people?
Oh, my God. Most Haunted is hysterical.
No. Yeah, same here. I think it was a joke at first. I thought it was a skit comedy act when I first saw that one. Jeez.
But it's not, because when I've had guests on from the show, I had recently I had Ray Jordan on, and he's on the Paranormal 5, which is like kind of the big BBC ghost hunting thing now where they hunt during the day. And I started talking about Most Haunted, and I was kind of being sort of tongue-in-cheek about it, and he got real serious about how it's, like, revered as one of the best shows in England, so I kind of backed off because...
Hey, don't piss off the British. They'll throw Marmite at you. Watch out.
That's true.
Because the British, I mean, I think it's just... The thing about Most Haunted, I love it because it's like a soap opera, but they never get anything, and they don't seem to have any equipment. They just kind of wander around screaming.
Right. The thing I guess I like about them is they pay more attention to the ghost story itself, and I just like the very beginning where they show the old places.
I do. That's my favorite. I love the beginning, and I love when they had Richard as a historian because he was the best historian.
But for me, with all these shows, most of the time, the investigation, I can wait until the end to see what results they got. I don't need to see the investigation. I just like the story. I like to see the place. You know what I mean?
Right. No, me too. I like the intro. I like the walkthrough. I like when they interview people. Even our movie, even Montgomery House. Honestly, I love the whole movie, but my favorite part is the beginning when everybody's getting interviewed. Because to me, it's people's experiences, which is why I like celebrity ghost stories. I mean, who thought in a million years you would get celebrities to come on TV and publicly talk about ghost stories? I mean, that's how far we've come as a society, because... Just for ghosts to admit, for celebrities to admit that they've seen ghosts. I mean, that's and not think.
Well, we've had a president who admits he's seen a UFO. So it's.
Regardless, I hope they keep pumping out these shows though, because I can't get enough of it. It's just like ghost books. If one comes out, I gotta buy it. Yeah, I love it. I love the ghost stories. I love being spooked. I love the fact that this could be real. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Right.
Let's keep on trucking, guys. Let's keep on putting out these movies. Either you like them, you hate them, whatever. The world's a better place for them. So,
it's kind of like football. Like, everybody has their favorite teams. But if you sit down in a bar and two teams are playing, they're not your favorites, you're still going to watch.
Right.
And
right.
I think that everybody has their favorite shows. But I think pretty much everybody in the community watches everything.
Well, Sheena Metal from the Sheena Metal Experience, we're about running out of time, guys.
I want to throw out her websites. Excuse me. Throw out her websites again. I kind of like hiccup there right in the middle of everything. So.
Website?
Yeah, so I just wanted to throw them out again. It's the Sheena Metal Experience. www.com. Sorry. SheenaMetalExperience.com. SheenaMetal.com. And LA Talk Radio
.com.
There we go.
And the movie is MontgomeryHouseHaunting.com.
MontgomeryHouseHaunting.com. I'll have to add that one to your list because I didn't put that one up yet.
Mm-hmm. When are we going to ghost hunt? Because now I'm all excited to do it with you guys.
Now we have to get out to California. That's the thing.
But you guys gotta come out here. There's so many cool haunted places here you would love.
Well, Sean, didn't I drive out to Indianapolis in a day once and then drive out to Kentucky in a day? And
yeah, I don't think you're going to make L.A. in a day.
No,
though,
I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll have to get out there.
Right.
We're playing something, though, Sheena. We definitely get together. So.
Yeah, let's do it. That would be fun. And I need to have you guys back on the show because I'd love to have you guys on Sheena Metal Experience. And I've never had you all three together on the show, so that would be really fun. And then also I want you guys to be guests on Haunted Playground as well. And pop all your stuff, because I want to get everybody into extreme paranormal.
And if you ever need, like, crypto information, we've got John Magnus Apollo on with us tonight. Yeah. And John,
that's me.
Is our
crypto.
John, I would love that. John, send me an email and come on my show for sure. I would love that.
Okay. I would love to help out. I love stuff like this.
So it's, but Sheena, can you hang on the line while Sean and I wrap up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Sean, I am afraid to say it is time once again for us to say goodnight to everybody because time has come to end the Ghost Band and Demon Hunter show for the evening.
Oh, shucks. We're out of time. Hey, special thanks to our band tonight from GarageBand.com. Guys, stop by there. Make sure to tell them the Ghost Band and Demon Hunter show said, yeah. And special thanks to Magnus Apollo, our crypto man, for filling in tonight. Thanks, John. We love you, buddy.
I love you guys.
And it was very special. Very special thanks to Sheena Metal from the Sheena Metal Experience for stopping by. Sheena Metal, she rocks, guys. And be
She's
sure to
awesome.
Check out, she is. She's awesome. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on to our forums because, hey, we want to hear from you.
And no show next week, folks. It's a Super Bowl. And no show the week after that because it's Valentine's Day. And no show the week after that because, well, it's my birthday and we're taking 3 weeks off. But we will be back February 28th, so be sure and join us then for when the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show returns, rocking and rolling, and what else do we do, Sean?
Coughing and stumbling?
Yes.
Aaron?
Drinking and smoking and...
figuring out Mickey's caps? Don't forget the Mickey's caps. You got to do
Mickey's caps, we do that, yeah. Guys, have a great week. We love you. Don't go changing ghost hunters. We won't. We love you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye, folks.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like work where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in, slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running my poor ass ragged, and I'm living from day to day. The boss man telling me what to do just makes me wanna say to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother. I could use a beer. I don't need.